We see here a man named Moses pleading with God, God, show me your glory. And God has a remarkable response to him. He said, you can't see me. You can't see me for who I truly am. I will show you my goodness. I will show you part of my glory. But no man can see my face, that is, and live. And we're going to understand today that there is a sight that's not for sore eyes, but a sight of God that is not for sinful eyes. We'll put this in parentheses here. A sight not for sinful eyes. Let's understand first in this passage the request. The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of this request that this has to be the boldest request of faith that you could possibly think of. That a man says to God, show me who you are. A man says to God, show me your glory. Show me the marvelous essence of who you are. And Spurgeon said it seems to be a little bit like when Peter had seen the transfigured Christ, when he looked at the transfiguration, and what does he say? Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles. The Bible writer says Peter didn't even know what to say. He was just kind of babbling in the face of this amazing glory. And it's probably likely that Moses didn't fully understand what he truly was requesting here. But let's look at this request and marvel at it, and in a very real sense, mimic it. First of all, let's understand this request was based on an answer. It was based itself on an answer. Brother Jerry read for us starting in verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Now, what's he saying there? Remember, Moses was taking God's people, the children of Israel, out of their captivity, out of their bondage in the land of Egypt. They were slaves. And God said to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, absolutely not. I'm not. Who's God that I'm going to listen to you? I'm not going to let them go. And so God brought wonder upon sign against Pharaoh that were judgments against his hardened heart. And then Moses was the leader who led Israel out of slavery, out of captivity. And now Israel's in the wilderness. And Moses is saying to God, God, you are asking me to lead these millions of people out of Egypt, but you haven't let me know who's going to go with me. In other words, you haven't yet assured me that you're going to go with me. And so what does God say in response? Moses said, are you going to go with me or not? Is your presence going to go alongside with? Is your power going to be with us? And look what the answer God returns to him. He says in verse 14, and he, God, said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. What a beautiful promise that is from God. Yeah, you're concerned, Moses? Don't be concerned. I'll go with you. I will go with you right now. Now look what Moses says. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. What does that mean? If you're not going to go, don't even send us. If you're not going with us, don't even let us go. It's not worth it. You know, that should be our heart cry as Christians. God, if your presence is not going to be carrying me with your Holy Spirit through my life, there's no point even going. Why? Because Jesus said, without me, without Jesus, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing of spiritual merit. You try to fight sin. You say, man, I'm doing these wrong things. I'm going to try to fight it. Without God's power and presence in your life, it's a losing battle. It's destined to fail. And so Moses' prayer should be the same as ours. And the Lord said to him in verse 17, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. What a great answer that is. And you know, in your prayer life, when you get an answer to prayer, use that as a springboard to only make greater requests. Faith is something that is stretched. God wants to stretch our faith. And so when we come before Him with a request and say, God, would you answer this prayer? And He answers it, say, okay, God, You answered that one. Guess what? Here's an even bigger one. And God is taking us through these steps of increasing our faith by His answers to prayer. And so under this request, we see, first of all, the answer, and secondly, we see the assurance. What was behind this request? It wasn't just the answer, but look at what God says to Moses in verse 17. I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. There's your answer. Now what does He say? For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. What an amazing message that is from God to this man named Moses. Hey, Moses, you have found grace in my sight. Not because you're some great, wonderful person, but because I am God and I have given you my mercy. I have poured out my benefit, my favor upon you, and I know you, Moses, for who you are. What an incredible assurance that is, that the Almighty God knows Moses by name. Now, Moses had already seen part of God's glory. He'd already seen part of it even just back in this chapter. Look at chapter 33, where we're at, and look at verse 9. Look at verse 9 of chapter 33, and Moses, it says, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle. That is to say, he enters into the place, to the local place in this time where God's presence would be. The cloudy pillar descended, this picture of the presence of God, and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Can you imagine God physically talking with man? That's what He did here with Moses. Moses came to the tabernacle and he heard God's voice. Amazing. Amazing illustration of God's glory. Turn back a few chapters to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 16. Verse 16 says, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. That was God's presence being there on the mountain. And the seventh day He called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. God, again, speaking to Moses, and what does He say? And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Everyone outside the cloud saw fire coming through that cloud. It was an illustration of the glory of God. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. He went up into the mount, right into the cloud where everyone looked at it and they saw fire. Moses walks right into it because God called him. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine this picture? Over this mountain, there's this cloud, as it were, of fire radiating out from it. And God says to Moses, hey, Moses, come on. Come up into the cloud. That's a little bit scary. That's a little bit intimidating. Moses goes up into it, and God talks with him. Moses was a man, the point is, Moses was a man who had seen the glory of God. And yet, what does he say? What is his appeal here in Exodus chapter 33? God says, I know you by name, my grace is with you. Moses said, I beseech thee, I plead with you, I pray you, show me your glory. Show me who you are. Show me the very essence. I've heard your voice. I've been there in the cloud with you. I've talked with you. But I haven't seen yet. There's something beyond that I don't quite see yet. Do you know what this word means here when he says, show me your glory? That Hebrew word means, in a sense, the weight. In other words, show me how weighty you are. Show me the very essence and the fullness of who you are. This is a very fitting request for you and for me. You know, sometimes we just get content saying, I read the Bible and I know stuff intellectually and that's good enough for me. Who's Jesus Christ? Oh, I can tell you who Jesus Christ is. What's God? Oh, I know what God is like. And yet there's not a hunger in our soul to learn more about God, to see Him more. Oh, we see Him working in a church. We see people getting saved. We see people walking with God. But is there a thirst in our heart to say, God, show me more? I haven't seen enough of you yet. I want to see the very essence of who you are. I want to see you for myself. This is what Moses' cry was to God. God, show me your glory. Show me your weight. Now, we understand in the New Testament, after Jesus Christ has come, that Scripture says that God has made manifest to us more aspects of Him. We're going to talk about that in real specificity next week. But oh, I encourage you, is your heart to say to God, show me more. I'm not content just with the little bit I've seen so far. Show me everything. Show me everything that I can see. That's my hunger. That's my heart cry. So we see here, first of all, the request that Moses makes to God. Secondly, we see a revelation. A revelation. What an incredible response that God gives. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. This revelation, first of all, was an affirmation. What does it mean to affirm somebody? When we went to Luke Van Sistine and I once took a number of teens from the church, teen boys from the church, up to the Boundary Waters. And we had two guides and we were going all through the Boundary Waters. And they had something that they called this affirmation circle. Luke is smiling at the remembrance of it. And what we did is, you had one person in the group and it would be one person's turn to be in the circle of affirmation. And then everybody else in the group would go around and say something nice about that person. They would affirm him. It was very sweet. Luke, wasn't it touching? It was very, very touching to hear all those nice, positive things. Affirm. But what the affirmation here is God saying to Moses, Moses, you asked, so I will give. You wanted me to show you my glory, so I'll show it to you. Do you know there's no indication here that God would have showed this glory to Moses if Moses hadn't asked? In other words, God didn't just jump in and say, here, Moses, I'm going to show you my glory. No, it only came after the request. I wonder how many times we don't see God for truly who He is because we never ask. We don't see God for truly who He is because, as Scripture says, you have not because you ask not. You want to know why you don't have some more spiritual revelation of God? Because you've never asked me. You've never asked me to show yourself to me. And this was an affirmation, God saying, okay, I will. I'll show you some aspect. This affirmation was also, let's understand, this revelation was an affirmation, but also let's understand the attribute. An attribute is some aspect of a character. Your attribute might be love, it might be kindness, it might be being a nice person, it might be being peaceful. Let's just stop and think for a minute. When we think of the glory of God, the radiance of God, the brightness of God, the weight of who God is, and let's say that someone were to ask God, show me your glory, show me what I can see of you, what would we think that God would show? His power? I'm going to show you my power. You want to see? You want to see that mountain over there? I'm going to split it right in half. Then you're going to see how big and strong I am. Wouldn't we think that might be what God would show? Show me your glory. Okay, you know what I'm going to show? I'm going to show you my justice. I'm going to show you how tough I am. You want to see me? See that wicked person over there? You want to see me dissolve him? You want to see me blow him into smithereens? That's how just I am. That's how tough I am. That's how holy I am. Do we think that's what God's glory would have shown? Let's understand the attribute that God showed to Moses. What does he say? What does he say here in verse 19? And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. He says, Moses, do you want to see what is going to radiate my glory? I'll show you my goodness. What does it mean, this word goodness? It means the absolute goodness in the sense of being fully good, perfect. I will make every aspect of how good I am and how gracious I am and how kind I am and how loving I am, I'm going to make all that pass before you. What a wonderful sight that is, and what an insight into the character of God, that when God wanted to make his glory known to man, he said, I'll show you how good I am. I'll show you how wonderful I am. That is the attribute that we should look at of God. You know, people look back into the Old Testament and they say, oh, that's just a vengeful God. That's an angry God. That's a God that loves crushing people. He sees an ant down there and God loves just to stomp them. If you ever hear someone say that, turn to Exodus 33 and say, no. You know what God wants to show when he wants to show himself to mankind? He shows his goodness. He shows his grace. He shows his mercy. That's who God is. That's at the very essence of his character. Third, let's understand the announcement. The announcement. God says, not only will I show you, I will make all my goodness pass before you, but I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. What does it mean in the Old Testament when it talks of the name of God, the name of Jehovah? That's not just Peter Magnuson, that's my name. That's not just that. The idea of a name in the Old Testament is of everything that makes up that person. For instance, it would be as if you heard the name Peter Magnuson, and behind that name was everything that I stood for. Oh, that's that characteristic. Oh, that's that characteristic. Oh, that's that one too, and that's that one. So in other words, when God says, I will proclaim my name before you, it's not just that he's saying, I'll say Jehovah. Hey, Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. He's saying, I will proclaim everything behind that name, everything that makes up that name. And so he says, you are going to hear, you are going to see this attribute, all my glory pass before you, and you are going to hear it announced of who I am. You say, did this happen? Did this revelation really happen? Yes. Turn over one chapter to chapter 34. Turn over one chapter to see this revelation. So look at verse 4. Starting in verse 4 of chapter 34, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai. So now he's going back up that mountain, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. Now verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud. Here's this presence of God coming before him in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now look at verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Look at God coming by in all his glory. And look what the attributes that he says. Hey, God's gracious. God's merciful. God's long-suffering. God is loving. What a wonderful pronouncement of who God is. And let that sink in when we understand the very nature, the very essence of who God is. Goodness. Full and complete goodness. So we've seen, first of all, the request. It's a request for all of us to imitate. God, show me more about you. Show me more of who you are. I don't want to just rest on my head knowledge. I don't want to just think about it under here. I want to see it here. I want to understand you spiritually. And secondly, the response of God in the revelation to say, okay, I will. I will make you understand my goodness. I will make you understand how loving I am and how merciful I am and how all this long suffering goes into this character. I'll proclaim the name of God before you. But third, let's understand a restriction. You see, there was some of God's glory that Moses could see. It's as if God says, I will show you as much as you can take of my glory. I will show you absolutely as much. Now let's look at this restriction. Verse 20 of chapter 33. If we're back at verse 20 of verse 33, verse 20 of chapter 33, God says, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, that is, in a little cave, in a little hole, a little opening in the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's think about this for a minute. John tells us that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. So why is God saying in this, you can't see my face? Does God have a body like we have with a face and with a hand, and as it says here, back parts, the back part of him? Is that who God is? No, God is a spirit. And Jesus went on to say, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So why does God here paint this picture, anthropomorphized, whatever that word is? Why does he say that and say, I'm going to put a body on it, so to speak. I'm going to speak in human terms. It's so we can understand. And I think what God was saying here is when he says, you can't see my face and live, he's saying, you can't see me in my full essence. You can't see me for who I really am in all my glory. There's an absolute here. No man can see me and live. You know, the book of John says the same thing. No man hath seen God at any time. That's an absolute. No man has ever seen God for who he truly is as a spirit. Now you think, how does this work? Well, the example I've given to some people is, have you ever stood and tried to stare down the sun when it's shining in its brightness from heaven in the heat of the day? Your eyes would, in a sense, lose their vision. You would be blinded if you persisted in looking at the sun. Why? It's too bright. It's too radiant. It's too marvelous. And so, if we were to truly look at God in his essence, in all his goodness, in everything that he is and what he stands for, we would die. We would completely pass away. Our sight would be gone. Why? Because of God's goodness. Because of the full radiance of his goodness and who he is. Now, isn't it interesting that in the Garden of Eden, Adam walked with God? God walked with him in the cool of the day. The presence of God was going around in the garden in the cool of the day. Do you know you were designed to have fellowship with God? You were designed to have a relationship with him. But because of Adam's sin that left the whole human race in sin, and because of your individual sin, that fellowship with God has been broken, that understanding of the presence of God in your life has been destroyed. Your sin has blinded you to who God truly is. Your sin, if you will, has put a veil over your eyes from seeing God for who he is. And so when God says, no man can see me and live, he's saying, you know what? Your sin, your frail condition as a man withholds you from seeing everything, from seeing me is, if you will, my face, the utter radiance of the sun of God's righteousness. You can't look at it. And so we see this absolute, it was a restriction, but it was a gracious restriction. It was God saying, I will show you as much as I can, because we see, secondly here, an alternative. This is beautiful. God says, okay, so you can't see my face and live. You can't see me at my very spiritual essence and live. But guess what? You can see. And it shall come to pass, verse 22, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. In other words, I will veil your sight while I am passing by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. What does that mean, back parts? What is the picture that that's presenting? Have you ever seen a king going through, or maybe in an old painting, or maybe just in your mind, a king coming through wearing these royal robes, and the robes are flowing back behind him? It's this train as he goes by. Maybe it's a wedding. I was at a wedding yesterday of a little ex, Xavier Delaney's son, and his bride was going behind with this long train of white. It's as if God is saying to Moses here, you can't see my essence, but I'll let you see the train. I'll let you see what goes behind me. I'll let you see where I've been. Isn't that interesting when we tie that to last week? What do the heavens do? They declare the glory of God, and the heavens are saying, God was here. Have you ever been camping, walking on a trail, and you come up, and on a tree there's something carved in here? A name, Peter was here. You know, or you'll see, you know, a name and a name and a heart between them. You think, I wonder how long that lasted, relationship lasted. But you see, Peter was here. And it's like God in his heavens is saying to us, God was here, and you see a little bit of his glory. God was here, he made this, and you see a little of his glory. And so God says to Moses, you know what, you can't see me and live, but I am going to show you as much as I can. I'm going to show you not as much as I can, but as much as you can see. I will show you my goodness. I will show you my back parts, my train. What a wonderful alternative that Moses received. And you know, when we think of God, even today in his revelation of us, he is at the same time revealing himself to us and, if you will, concealing himself. He is showing us himself while also protecting us from the very essence of his glory. This was his work in Moses. And what a gracious alternative that was for Moses to see as much as he could see of God. And third, let's see the awareness. What was Moses' response to seeing the glory of God, to seeing the goodness of God displayed to him in the most marvelous sight maybe that man has ever seen? Just put yourself in Moses' position. And God says, I'm a spirit. You can't fully see me. You can't see me at my essence, at my spiritual essence. Someday, you're going to see me face to face. That's what Paul says. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, our spiritual bodies will be able, I believe, to see God for who he truly is. And yet right now, God says, I'm gonna manifest myself to you. Can you imagine standing there in that cleft of the rock? Can you imagine Moses' heart pounding as he says, God's going to show himself to me? Can you imagine his knees just shaking and trembling as God brings forward? What did it look like? I don't know. But just imagine this amazing sight. And now what happens here in chapter 34? What is Moses' response? Look at 34 and verse 8. 34 and verse 8, "And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped." You want to see what the response of man is to seeing the glory of God? Falling on their face in awe. Falling on their face and worshiping, ascribing worth and saying, "God, you are good." Can't you imagine Moses seeing this passage and say, "God, you are glorious. You are good. You are long-suffering. You are loving. You are merciful. I get it. I see it now for myself." That was Moses' awareness. And you know, if you go through Scripture, when man is confronted with the glory of God, that's what happens. Isaiah chapter 6, we won't turn to that now, but go back and look at it at another time. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." Now we know from this passage he didn't see the full essence of the Lord. He, if you will, saw his back parts. He saw his train. But what Isaiah saw caused him to fall down before God and say, "God, I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy." This is the awareness that God's creatures have when they are confronted with God's glory, with His glorious goodness. And what a wonderful awareness it is for us. What do we take from this passage? What do we take from this picture of Moses, a sight for sinful eyes, but a sight also not for sinful eyes? Do we say, "God, come down and have this wonderful display to me? God, will you put me up in a mountain somewhere so you can pass by?" Has God decided to make that revelation to us for us to see? Well, we're going to talk about this next week, so come next week. We're going to dig more into this, but just a very brief preview. Scripture says that God, the Son, Jesus Christ, is the image of God's glory. It is the brightness of His glory. And so do you know what we take from this passage? What we take from this passage is, you know what? God, you revealed yourself to Moses, and that was a picture of the image that you would reveal to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. You know what? The attribute of God that is on full display when we look at Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, being crucified for your sin. Oh, we stand and look at that cross and say, "God, you are so good. You are so merciful. You are so long-suffering. You are so loving that in all my sin, you reached down in your goodness and grabbed me and took me to yourself." So let's understand, when we cry out to God, "Show me your glory," do you know what we are saying? We're saying with those Greeks that came to Philip in the New Testament and says, "We would see Jesus. Show me Jesus. Show me His glory. Show me His goodness." Because that is the revelation of God that He's given to you for today. And He encourages you to come in and see that glory for yourself. And then one day look forward to the time when your eyes won't be sinful anymore. Someday when after you die, unless Jesus Christ comes back, if you have been saved by faith, if you have been justified by faith, God is going to redeem that sinful body right now that can't look on Him for His glory. Someday that is going to be made a spiritual body. And you are going to have fellowship with God forever, and you are going to rejoice in His goodness and in His graciousness and in His mercy like you've never seen it before. Until that point, let's cry out with Moses, "Show me your glory. Show me everything that I can see of you. I desire that experience." If you've never come to Jesus Christ today, if you've never been saved, if you still are looking through the eyes not of faith, but of through your own wisdom, you'll never see God's glory like that. Today is the day to turn to Jesus Christ. Today is the day to trust Him for salvation and begin a new revelation of the glory of God to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this beautiful passage. Thank You for Moses and the faith that he showed in this amazing request. Show me Your glory. I pray that this would be the heart cry of every single person here. I pray that as well, that if there's anyone here who cannot even see your individual revelation of glory because they've never accepted you as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.